on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. CNN's medical correspondent Sanjay Gupta will be in town tomorrow for the Baltimore Speaker Series presented by Stevenson University. He's a journalist and multiple Emmy Award winner, and he's also a practicing neurosurgeon, the associate chief of neurosurgery at Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta, and an assistant professor of neurosurgery at Emory University. WYPR's Sheila Cast is the host of the Baltimore Speaker Series. She spoke with Dr. Gupta last week.
Early this month on CNN, you highlighted an approach to gun violence that calls for it to be treated as a public health issue, like an infection that spreads from person to person. You said that idea gives you hope. Why?
Well, you know, we talk about gun violence, obviously, in the wake of tragedies. But what I thought was so striking about some of the work that's been done by people like Gary Slutkin is sort of thinking about the root cause of these things. In medicine, you want to figure out the root cause of something and treat that as opposed to symptoms. And I think the idea of violence overall being something that behaves like an infection. You can predict infectious diseases. You can predict how they're going to spread. And that's really a very good thing for doctors who are trying to control those infectious diseases. What these guys saw, these researchers, was that violence behaves in much the same way. It can start very small. It can spread predictably among populations and has outcomes that people can see coming. So when you think about violence as the root cause and you start to interrupt that violence, that sort of is much closer to treating the root cause of the problem. And I think that's what was optimistic about it.
Baltimore's health commissioner, Dr. Lena Wen, agrees with you. Her department sponsors a program called Safe Streets Baltimore, which relies on former offenders to interrupt violence in their communities. There was an incident this summer. Guns and drug paraphernalia were found in one of the Safe Streets offices in East Baltimore. Two Safe Streets workers were arrested. The city has since reopened that office, a vote of confidence in the program. But how do you assess the risk of relying on ex-offenders to be those interrupters of violence?
Well, if you keep the medical analogy, there's always potential side effects, potential concerns whenever you're giving an antibiotic, for example, for an infection. But I think, you know, on the other hand, you have people who probably understand the motivations and the root cause of the violence better than anybody. So, you know, I think if people who now have a genuine interest in saying, look, I've been there, I know how to fix this, I think this is a fixable problem, and I think I can help fix it. I think, you know, that in some ways they're going to offer a lot of assets and benefits that other people cannot.
Let me share with listeners part of how Playboy magazine set up its interview with you last summer. Quote, he now juggles time in the operating room with his CNN gig and as a special correspondent for CBS News, where he occasionally appears on 60 Minutes. Since that pace is too breezy, Gupta writes novels, competes in triathlons. Before his first race at the age of 40, he taught himself to swim by watching YouTube videos and spends quality time with his wife and three young daughters, close quote. Do you really do all that? And if so, how?
You know what's funny, Sheila, is that I read that kind of stuff about other people as well, and I think that's, you know, that isn't sort of incredible, but I never think of myself sort of that way, so it's funny to hear you sort of read it out loud. I'll give you some specifics on how I sort of organize my life, because I think there's probably relevance for everybody in there, but first of all, I'll tell you, I'm not an expert. It all evolved. I didn't walk in sort of knowing how I was going to organize these types of things into my life, and I feel very blessed to be able to do it. I mean, you know, we all have a limited time on Earth, and I think being able to do as much as you can do, contribute in as many ways as you can contribute, I think is just important. It's my mom and dad taught me, and I try and teach my kids. So that's how I approach life. But you know, I have a schedule. I schedule things. I've been like that since I was a kid. I just schedule my life, and in a realistic, yet very consistent way. I don't give myself unlimited time to do things. I find if you give yourself unlimited time to write a paper in the afternoon, you will take all the time that you can possibly take. But if you say I have an hour and a half to do this, and keep yourself on a schedule, all of a sudden you find that you can be much more efficient. I don't think of medicine and media part of my life as totally disparate silos. I see them, you know, part of the same spectrum. So I learn a lot of things in my journalism career, which I apply to medicine, and vice versa. So, you know, I kind of feel like I'm a perpetual student, and I get to learn and then maybe even teach what I've learned through various channels.
But let me pick up on that, because, as you know better than I, there was quite a bit of controversy this spring about your dual roles. It started with a surgery in which you participated in Nepal after the earthquake there, where you ended up misidentifying the patient. You thought it was an 8-year-old girl when it turned out she hadn't needed surgery, and it was a 15-year-old girl that you had participated in the operation. But some in the press use that as an occasion to question why you perform surgeries on camera in disaster zones, and whether that needlessly confuses the goals of journalism with the goals of medicine.
It's an interesting thing, and I don't know if there's an absolutely right answer to this question. I mean, in some ways, it's something that I've been, you know, thinking about since I've started this sort of dual career. In this particular situation, it was I was in an earthquake zone. Doctors there asked me to help operate on somebody. They told me who the patient was and all of that, and I had no reason to question what they were telling me in terms of the patient's identity. I knew the patient I was operating on certainly needed an operation. That was obvious. Subsequently, it was 3 months later when they themselves sort of realized that the girl that was operated on was this person as opposed to that person. And, you know, you obviously, you know, as journalists, you want to make sure you get those things absolutely right, but you're sometimes beholden in disaster zones to what the hospital's telling you. As far as why do it, you know, I mean, they asked me to help out, and I did. We didn't have our cameras in the operating room. Those were iPhone cameras that took pictures and video of the operation. That was not one of our CNN cameras, and some of those images are then released. Another reporter wrote an article about it, and then people asked me, you know, as some of that was released. So certainly not my intent. You know, I go there to report the stories. I think it's important to report those stories. But I also think that if someone, you know, putting on a press badge is not a part of your humanity. You know, you've got, if people ask you to help, you help.
If you had to choose between your media career and your medical career, which would you choose?
You know, medicine's my first love. I like the tangible aspects of medicine. I do. I have a lot of respect for journalists. I love my career as a journalist. But medicine has a tangible nature to it. That, you know, I wake up in the morning on days that I'm operating, and I know what I'm supposed to do that day. You know, it's very clear. It feels really good to be able to be a doctor. And, you know, I have young kids now, and they ask me about their own lives and what they want to do. And I still think, you know, being in medicine or being in some field of compassionate care, there's nothing quite like it.
The neurosurgeon and CNN correspondent and host, Dr. Sanjay Gupta. He spoke with the host of Midday, Sheila Cast, last week. Dr. Gupta is speaking tomorrow evening at the Meyerhoff Symphony Hall in Baltimore as part of the Baltimore Speaker Series presented by Stevenson University and hosted by Sheila Cast. We've got more information and more of this interview on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. That'll do it for us this morning. Coming up Wednesday, the director of the Howard Conservancy, the author of a new book about Vladimir Nabokov and the nutrition diva, will all stop by Studio A. I hope you'll join us Wednesday morning on Maryland Morning. For Nathan Sterner, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.